Okay, so we're here with Nadia, who has given a couple panels at Anime Boston, like, this year and last year?
Yeah, and the year before.
Okay, about shoujo manga, because she's been reading tons of it. How much shoujo manga would you say you've been reading?
Wow, that's a very good question. I haven't actually read too much this year because I've been working really hard on my moe. You know, in a good year, I would say I read, you know, maybe 20 or 30 a year.
Series or volumes?
Volumes.
Okay. We say the name of your presentation that was like this year and last year. Did you know one about the 70s as well?
Not yet.
Okay. I thought I missed it or something.
Yeah, I did one last year on shoujo manga of the 1950s, and I did one this year on shoujo manga of the 1960s. And before that, I did one the history of shoujo manga.
Oh, okay.
From start to finish.
That's one of them.
The 1970s would be next year, but I may or may not be able to do the research necessary with enough time.
Yeah, because we're working on like the ball-jointed doll panel or whatever.
Yeah, I have to work on the ball-jointed doll thing. I've got to write my master's thesis and do an internship and also some other crazy stuff.
Right, and it is by your master's thesis that you have this background of information. I mean...
No, it's the undergraduate thesis.
Oh,
I didn't realize that.
I'm sorry. So your undergraduate work was on shoujo?
Yeah. My undergraduate work was on shoujo. I've written an equally sized paper on older shoujo manga for an independent study, but right now I'm sort of... Because one of my teachers is more focused on dolls, I'm focusing on dolls now. So I'm looking at that emerging subculture.
Yeah, for a big paper. So. Those dolls cost thousands of dollars.
Well, not like a thousand, maybe.
Like a thousand each?
Yeah, between 200 and 2,000, I'd say. Is the range. They're expensive, but they're handmade, they're beautiful. You know, last you a lifetime.
What is the doll culture like as compared to the otaku culture, the anime otaku culture, which I'm more familiar with?
The dolls are mostly they're collected by girls here.
Yeah, in Japan they're collected by boys and girls, but here, you know, because a guy collecting dolls might, you know, he might feel a little bit less fresh than normal, I don't know. He might feel himself not quite so manly, so it's become more of a girls collecting male dolls, actually, which is interesting, because usually when people think of dolls, they think of female dolls.
Right.
So, it's a lot more interactive, I'd say. I mean, we're in Artist Alley right now, so kind of like, you work on the doll.
Yeah.
You paint the doll.
You make all the clothes.
You make the clothes, you can make the wigs, you can really customize the doll. And I think that's, you know, interacting with the doll in that way in terms of, like, being part of the creative process is an important aspect of it. And it's also something that, you know, you display, you take photos of. I think all of it in Japan and America.
Okay, but you've spent some time in Japan at universities and such. I guess the big question I have on my mind lately is, we just went there in January, and the big amazing difference for me at, like, Comic-Con or even at Mandarake or whatever in the otaku subculture, it's sort of like the male and female otaku are completely separate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in Comic-Con you have, like, Girls' Day, you have the big room with just the girl area, and only girls are shopping there, only girl artists. And then, like, the boys' room, and it's all male artists, and men are shopping there. The stores are so separate. Do you understand, like, why that is? Or, like, have you ever talked to fans about how in America it's more mixed? Like,
well,
we hang out together.
I think it has to do with the history of how all of this started. In the Meiji period, they started making magazines for children. And at first it was just, you know, children of both genders, one magazine. And then as time passed, they separated it, probably in order to get more revenues, you know, by selling a product aimed at women that women would buy, but boys would probably, like, maybe read your little sister's manga or something.
Yeah.
Or her magazine. And so the boys and girls culture developed separately because they had the separate magazine system, whereas in America, we never really got, like, we didn't start getting the magazines until much more recently.
Yeah.
So I think there's sort of more of a basis for, no one really knows what shoujo is here, which is part of the reason that I run these panels.
Yeah.
But also, you know, people don't care as much because we've all kind of, we just kind of get it, it comes over as, you know, Japanese popular culture. So
right, it's Japanese, not have a gender or something.
Yeah, I mean, we don't. They don't separate it in the bookstores here.
Yeah,
I mean the booksellers wouldn't know to do that. So
yeah,
it's all kind of mixed together. And I think there's some very good things about that because you know you can get a series without having to wonder like. If this, you know, a guy series or a girl series, you can just appreciate a series for what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, people still try to make distinctions, and I think one of the problems in America is that people will try to make distinctions along lines of what Americans think is proper gendered behavior or proper gender consumer materials. Like, if it has romance in it, it must be for girls. And,
yeah,
you know, as Moai proved, I just read a panel on
yeah.
There's plenty of romance out there for guys.
Yeah, like Ayuri Ashi or something.
Yeah.
It's romance, but it's for guys.
Yeah.
And
even Oh My Goddess, which a lot of people get confused about.
Yeah.
It was read in a shonen magazine.
Right.
It's shonen manga.
Yeah,
right.
And there are lots of girl fans of that. Here,
yeah.
But
there are lots of girl fans of that.
Japan.
But, like, you know, there are tons of girl fans of Naruto.
Yeah.
And Naruto, no one would argue, is a shoujo series.
Yeah.
So, although one might argue that people making it might be thinking a little bit more about the female fans and the products they're going to buy than the male fans, but, yeah.
Yeah. Alright. I guess we should go.
I guess we do.
But I'll be in touch by email.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't like Ninja Scroll anymore.
Really?
Because there's like a new breed of anime fans now. Who knows what the hell they watch?
Well, I think it's they don't like it for the same reason they don't like Fist of the North Star. It's too raw and powerful for them to handle. And it's
love
unnecessarily...
Like
yeah, it's unnecessarily objectifying women.
Well, whatever. I mean, that's how women are, aren't they?
Full of gunpowder?
Yes.
And snakes?
Dude, that is so hot.
Full of snakes filled with gunpowder?
I'm so waiting for the day that I, like... pick up some chick at a bar, and I'm like, hey, baby, what's up? And she's like, kaboom!
Oh, snap!
I'm like, I think I just had sex.
Was it good for you? Oh, that was amazing. Have a cigarette. Dave and Joel's Fast Karate for the Gentlemen.
The podcast for people who don't like anime.
Or podcasts.
Find us online at daveandjoel.com.
So now we're here at Anime Boston. It's Sunday. A woman came up to us just... Oh, wait. But first we were talking about some funny t-shirts we've seen. That girl over there has a shirt that says, Hug Your Commander. I think
yeah.
It's a Star Wars shirt.
That's nice.
That's pretty nice. A lot of people are wearing pink shirts that say it's not pink, it's light red.
That's
very classy.
Huh?
It's from Red vs. Blue.
Yeah, it's from Red vs. Blue. I don't know.
What is Red vs. Blue?
It's an online...
You don't know either.
...comic. I do know. I haven't ever seen it, but it's... Penny Arcade years and years ago... were nuts. They were nuts about it. It's machinima, you know?
No.
What do you mean, no?
Machinima. Doesn't it have, like, mechs and stuff?
All right. No, not exactly, but I think it was Counter-Strike. And what they do is they take, you know, they play the game.
Yeah.
But they're playing the game for the footage, to record the footage.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they dub over it, right?
Okay.
So machinima is like, appropriated footage from video games that's been used in a narrative context. I think that that's a pretty good definition.
You made it more obscure with your three-syllable words. I'm just kidding. I got it. Anyway.
You're not just kidding.
And no, we saw another shirt. This Noah saw a shirt yesterday that said, I'm proud to be awesome.
Yeah, proud to be awesome.
That's the shirt that Maggie should wear. Our
yep.
friend Maggie, because she says awesome all the time. Though I don't think she'll ever listen to our show.
Or come to an anime convention.
She's been banned from anime for a number of reasons. But she does read Yotsuba and some manga. Anyway.
But she also has a t-shirt saying, you can't have awesome without me.
I was going to say without some.
Without some. Without me.
Without something.
Yeah, that's Maggie for you.
What else? Alright, so this woman, an older woman, came up to us and asked, she's like, what I really need is an Astro Boy t-shirt.
Yeah.
And she said how she was born in, like, the 50s and saw Astro Boy in, like, 58 or something, and she thought it was really cool, but when she went to talk to her friends at school in the 60s, they looked at her like she was crazy. They'd never heard of it. So she was one of the original anime fans, or a fan of the original anime.
Yeah.
From
and now, 100 years later, when her own kids are getting into anime...
I think that was, like, a grandkid.
Maybe. She looked a little old.
Yeah, she looked... older than what she said, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't believe she was born in 58, because she looked a lot older than my mom, who was born in 51.
Or she's just raised a lot of children.
Whoa, yeah, like 20 of them.
Yeah.
That reminds me, though, okay, there's this... I think part of the problem with fandom and fans of TV and stuff that's alleviated by YouTube now, of course, is when you see a really weird show, like really late at night, maybe on some local like syndicate station or on a bizarre cable station, and you saw it a long time ago and you only saw part of the show, maybe you didn't catch the title, and you were like, and it was really weird, and when you go to tell other people about it, it's too obscure and no one you know has seen it, or else you're describing a part of the show they don't remember or it's not typical of what the show is about. And I think this leads people to madness. Like, they just really want to know, have you seen what I've seen? Have you seen this thing? And wasn't that weird?
Now you can go to YouTube and type in Aztec mummy exploding bees.
Zero results.
And zero results, no.
Take out bees, and then you get some.
Right.
But yeah, now you can go back and check. Like, someone wrote to the Anchorman column, like, a couple months ago, and they were like, what was this one anime that was on in the early 90s, and part of the opening sequence was 3D, and there was, like, a gimmick, like, you were supposed to put on your 3D glasses when the guy yelled, 3D time, or something, like, something stupid. And it was about robot things. It turned out it was a French production.
And sounds French.
It was pretty lame, but it had a rap song in the opening that is actually not so bad, which is hard to believe, but they do indeed have the whatever time that you put on your 3D glasses. But the answer man was just sort of like, since he was older, he was like, yeah, I remember that, and it was part of this, like, the block that Funimation or whatever had at the time. And maybe not Funimation. Maybe it's the equivalent of 4Kids, but like Sanban. The Sanban block with Power Rangers and that kind of thing. And those things were on, like, sort of after I was a bit old to be watching them. Like, that was not a Cartoon Black I was watching. Like, Animaniacs came on when I was in high school. And we still watched it, but it was sort of like, maybe if Tasmania came out after that, I didn't really watch that.
Yeah.
The one about the Tasmanian Devil.
Yeah, that wasn't very good.
It wasn't very good, except for one episode where they were walking, like, they park in a mall parking lot, and it's so huge, they start walking towards the mall, and they never reach it.
That's
taken from something else.
That's a Daniel Pinkwater story that Hal talks about a lot.
Yeah.
Where it's this Kafka-esque story where they park in the parking lot, and they've heard there's a mall, and they keep walking towards the mall, and every now and then, there'll be, like, little miniature malls that people have settled down and started on their way.
Maybe there's a TGI Fridays in the parking lot.
Yeah,
or, like,
something like that.
The Almighty Goobrazilla and the Greatest Movie Ever podcast present
Ice Pirates and Space Eye Patch. No space eye patches in this movie.
Yes, there is.
He was a space Viking.
Now,
and that robot had a peg leg. Come on.
Okay. I noticed that peg leg before I realized that it was supposed to be a comedy. No, that scene did melt my heart a little bit. I do like the idea of unicorn versus robot.
Yes.
Now, I wish the horn didn't come off in the robot's chest.
I think that just shows how truly pissed off that unicorn really was, that it was willing to break off its horn in that robot's chest.
But
this movie has a robot being stabbed by a unicorn.
You would think that they would take that horn out and make some, like, magic virgin potion or something like that.
And you got to give credit to the Knights Templars, the Space Knights Templars.
The Space Evil Templar.
That rule the galaxy from their home base in planet Mithra. They have great taste in film because whenever they're watching television 24 hours a day, it's the
Rollerball.
James Gunn Rollerball.
Everybody's watching Rollerball.
It's a great movie. We need to do that one too.
I do love Rollerball.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about Ice Pirates?
Don't watch this movie. Listen to what we said about it. You got the joke. I just saved you an hour and a half of boobless television. Maybe they should see it. Maybe they
can't appreciate the artistic beauty
of
a robot being stabbed by a unicorn.
That's genius. This is exactly what I'm saying. This stuff all sounds genius, and you're like, man, I would love to see a movie that has a space unicorn stabbing a robot. But then when you actually have to sit through it and all the bad jokes and the puns, you're like, I just wish somebody had described this to me and told me not to bother.
Ice Pirates.
Yarg!
www.fearthegooberzilla.com, the greatest movie ever podcast.
Robo herpes. I just don't see how they would blister.
Hey, this is Aaron from the Ninja Consultant Podcast. I'm here at Anime Boston, and it's kind of unfortunate I did not bring the correct wire for... I didn't bring the right wire for the microphone, so I'm recording at the Trio. Yeah, the filler pins have been selling better than the t-shirts. So I'm recording live in Artist Alley. My used manga has been selling all right, although I've sort of made this estimation where a lot of the manga I want to get rid of is, like, more mature titles, like the Eternal Alice Rondu thing and the Mahime manga, which is strangely not for girls at all. And most of the people shopping for used manga are, like, younger, like high school or younger, 11-year-olds with their parents. All right, I've got Derek here. How have you been enjoying the con so far?
It's been fine. I had to wait in line for 2 hours, which is not fun.
Did you pre-reg? No.
No, I didn't pre-register, which is dumb.
The pre-reg line was like 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah, I saw some people in the pre-reg line, and the thing is that first there was a line outside of the main room where they were actually registering, and then you got into the room, and it was actually enormous. It was like if you picture the line main events for Otakon. I took a picture, and it did take 2 hours. But
I was just really distracted by whatever it is they're selling down there. Where there's, like, painted on CD wallets or something?
I think they have, like, purses there, but looked over there, and the art doesn't look very good.
From far away, it looks all right.
Up close, it looks kind of like the eyes are too far apart and just really off-model and stuff.
They have fetal alcohol syndrome. So how many underage, what is it, Rikus?
I actually only have seen one inappropriate Riku.
Okay.
She didn't have a G-string showing or anything, so it wasn't as inappropriate as I've seen before, but she was there. But pretty much... most of the people I see with lots of cleavage are inappropriate at this con.
A lot of younger kids.
It's a lot of younger people. Oh, but I also saw the Naruto cosplayers, the family.
Uh-huh.
The mom was Sakura, dad was Sasuke.
Wasn't the baby dressed as, like,
yeah,
Gaara?
It was... oh, I didn't see the baby.
Oh, okay.
I saw, but they had the kid as Naruto, and then the Sakura, she has holding on each hand Naruto and the Konohamaru.
Oh, I didn't see the Sakura.
Yeah, and it was really cute, but they were getting in the elevator, so I didn't get a picture.
Oh, man.
But the Konohamaru, his hair was perfect. It was all spiked, just like the character.
And he's the right age.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always good to see age-appropriate characters.
Yes.
What's the one, I want to say... I keep wanting to say Tenten from Naruto.
Oh.
There was, like, a really good age-appropriate Tenten in the dealer's room.
Oh, I didn't see.
Well, she looked the correct age for taking the tuning exam. Yeah.
But other than that, just been going around and...
yeah, look, those guys have Adult Swim, like, Moonanite t-shirts.
Oh, nice.
Boston now with 99.9% less Moonanites.
That's funny because on a forum I post on...
uh-huh.
That it started a thread about the Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie, and they're saying, yeah, this is funny, I didn't know this was coming out. I'm like, oh, I guess the bad publicity of the Moonanites being terrorist devices didn't work.
Not at all.
So people still forgot about the movie.
They were showing it on TV, too. Like,
oh.
Like, they aired it at the same day it premiered in theaters.
It's kind of crappy.
And kind of weird copyright. Like, what? What kind of weird
contract?
Yeah, all right. I have my manga list. The manga in the dealership was actually pretty good this year. There was, like, some really low-cutting sales, like buy one, get two free if it has a red dot, and, like, other kind of buy one, get one free situations. So I have my list of volumes. But it's all stuff, like, going out of print things, like Ayuri Ashi that, like, no one's reading, or old volumes of Peach Girl that no one bought in the first place.
Yeah, I saw New England Comics. They had this enormous section of... bargain bin manga. It was all between $1 and $5.
Yeah.
But what they did was they kind of did the thing that Virgin Megastore does, where they have their bargain section. They have a whole bunch of manga and they put it in total disarray, so it's really hard to go through.
It's not alphabetical.
They're
like duplicates, but they're in different places.
It's not even facing the right way, so you can't even read it, so you can't really tell that it's actually like six different things.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the one guy with the buy one, get two free, it was all like vertically in the box, so you couldn't see the spines.
Yeah.
And you could only see the top of the books.
Yeah. But... and I think there was one store that had 20% off, but the rest was kind of not... you should see bigger discounts at cons.
Really?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Usually
like
20%, 15%, just getting it normally.
Yeah.
But the one big place where I got manga, it was buy two of the same series, you get 10% off. Yay.
Yeah, that's crap.
It's four, like, buy four of the same series, you get 15.
Actually,
buy, like, eight, it was 20.
Just, there's this one dealer who's a really big dealer, and he goes to all the cons.
Yeah.
And that it's what he does at every con.
Oh.
And they might have an okay selection, but his discounts are not cheap.
Yeah.
I've seen him do 20%, and it's still not worth it.
And it was like, buy one of an entire series, 10 minimum, you get 25% off.
That's crap.
Thinking, thanks,
any
buddy.
Any kind of sale, or you do so much better online than that.
Yeah.
And, don't ever buy from that dealer, kids, unless it's like that one volume that you can't find.
Yeah.
I guess then maybe it's okay. But you'll be paying full price.
Yeah. But I got some Phoenix from there because...
It's hard to find.
I went to Forbidden Planet. They didn't have anything but 7 and 8. Then I went back the next week. They had everything but 3 and 7, and I needed 3. So I couldn't go on that. Yes.
I don't know. I went to the historic Golden Apple comic book store in Los Angeles because I've heard of it. I think in New Type, there's like a columnist who mentions how like that's one of the first places that manga and anime got imported to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a chain, and there are two locations. Maybe I went to the wrong one. It just seemed like a really decent comic book store.
Mm.
These guys have giant foxtails. What's up with them?
Which one?
These three guys right here.
Oh.
They're totally dressed normally, except for their giant foxtails.
If they were turned the other way, you could picture them like King of the Hill drinking beers.
Yeah.
Except they have enormous foxtails.
Where's Daryl Surratt? You need to comment on it. They almost look like frat guys or something, except for giant foxtails.
It almost looks like someone just pinned it on there, and they don't know it's there.
Although they're huge. They're much bigger than, like, the normal fake tails that you get.
At, like, an artist gallery.
There's something like, for AWO, the two guests they have here are, like, giant robot producer-director guys. Like, there's a guy who works on Do You Remember Love as the producer. And the other guy is, like, a mech designer and stuff who... I don't know. And someone who was involved in Space Adventure Cobra. Guess who Gerald would really enjoy, and I'm sure no one went to their panel, and you probably could have hung out with them. Like, it's that kind of thing. So, that's what you get for living in Florida.
Oh, is it the Gundam guy?
Yeah.
Like the
Yeah,
like
he works
the
on,
super
like,
really
Gundam and a bunch of other
like
stuff.
The super, oh, that's what they're talking about at the Chibi Project.
Yeah.
When he said that, I couldn't tell if it was part of the DVD or he was actually saying that at the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they melted the Gundam.
Patrick, yeah, they took a G Gundam Gundam that's supposed to have some kind of flame power.
And they
set it
coated
on fire.
It with rum or something they think was rum.
They put it in a puddle of gasoline or rum or something.
Yeah.
And set it on fire. And they were like, we'll not tell our guests about that unless we get drunk.
Yes.
And then we'll show them too.
Hey kids, need to brush up on your social skills, job skills, life skills, but you don't want to go to some backwater tech college? Now you don't have to, thanks to Anime World Order. Audio seminars jam-packed with the info you need to be a super successful human being. And they're free, that's right, free! Learn a foreign language, like Japanese.
Suzumiya Haruhi no Yutsu.
Natsuhiko Kyogaku's Takashi Miike. Kyogaku Natsuhiko Kosetsu Hyaku Monogatari.
Itchy Balls.
Cultural studies and fromage.
The Japanese like their women like they like their cheese. Aged 7 years.
Women's studies.
Maybe they're like goth tampons or made out of like velvet.
Ew.
Networking.
I guess you could say that knowing Daryl Surratt is an association that comes with strings attached.
Computer sciences.
I settled for a random guy with a neck beard.
See, do you use Linux? I just wanted to know if you used Linux or not.
What's Linux?
You seem like the kind of person who...
No, I never heard of it.
Okay.
Ancient world history.
Mark Antony has a ninja.
Julius Caesar is the cigar-chomping American politician.
We are Anime World Order.
A mysterious trio of really strange people, if you can call them that, that are gifted with... bizarre, not quite explicitly defined powers.
It's all blood and tits and ass and...
It's hurting my head!
That's the kind of show this is.
AnimeWorldOrder.blogspot.com 206-666-4AWO. Call now.
Alright, I'm here with the second listener who I've met today. I don't know, do you want to say whatever you want? Oh, wait. Okay, how are you enjoying the con?
Well, pretty good so far. Better than my last experience, mainly because I was
in experience.
Was the last time you were first gone?
Yeah, officially. Let's say this. I went to Torcon 06 first, so...
Is that like a sci-fi con, or...?
No, that's at the Rochester Institute of Technology.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no,
so it's like a school con, sort of?
Yeah, pretty much. It's only one day, so we kind of call it a mini con.
Yeah.
Okay, bad Transformers joke, I know.
A mini con, I got it. But, okay, so then you went to, like, last year's Anime Boston?
Yeah, so I consider that to be my first official con. So, yeah, it's really big. I liked it overall, but I didn't get the maximum enjoyment out of it.
Oh, okay.
So this year, I felt that I did.
Alright. I guess about it, what's your favorite anime that you've been watching lately? Like, not all of all time, but of recently.
Let's see. Lately, I would have to say Angel Heart,
The
City Hunter spinoff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know what?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, that's pretty much maybe the only one that comes up to mind. The other one would be Oh man, I cannot say the Japanese title of it, but it's The Wallflower Perfect Girl Evolution.
Oh, okay. I watched a couple episodes of that. I've read a bunch of volumes of the manga, but. I don't know, like, it was kind of weird. Like, it's not my message band, but anyway. I don't know, if you want to say anything about other anime podcasts, you can. They always like hearing about themselves.
Well, besides, I listen to Geek Nights. I also listen to a little bit Anime World Order, Anderson Cooper 360, their podcast. Well, more like a vidcast, so... And, obviously... Well, right here at Anime Boston 2007, you're listening to the Ninja Consultants.
All right, thanks. Hey. All right, so here we are. It's Saturday. It's Anime Boston. We've got a listener here. I've got Noah here.
Hey.
So, how are you enjoying the con so far?
I'm enjoying it quite well. It's really large.
And, what's it like being staff?
Very busy.
Have you staffed con before?
Yes, I have. Okay. I started as a volunteer at BASH back in 2001, the last one.
Oh, okay.
And then I've been doing Anime Next for a couple of years. I went to Otakon once, and this is my first year at Anime Boston.
So as long as you know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah. I've done tech and sound. I've run many different departments. So that's, yeah.
you think you'll ever run your own con or?
No.
I think you've learned a valuable lesson.
Yes, definitely.
Never run your own con.
No, never.
Yeah. There was that kid from, what was that con that you went to? Upstate.
What, in Utica?
Yeah.
CETACON,
where that kid had been. He went to Otakon once, and he was like, I could throw a con. And so he, like, drew his own con. Like, he learned a lot
and
from
he
it.
Did. And he did.
And
he did a really good
hardcore,
job. Corbin. I was really afraid that there was just going to be this horrible tragedy. And people were, of course, there, and they were like, I've been up for 38 hours, and I feel like I'm
going
to die.
They're like, I'm going to kill Corbin.
Blood is going to pour forth from my eyes. And it was really well run, and he organized all the finances and everything, and we even had a hotel room, and so it can be done.
Yeah.
It can be done.
Yeah.
I wanted to go to that one, but unfortunately I got sucked into staffing Manga Next that same weekend.
That's where Aaron was.
Oh, I went to Manga Next.
I was in the manga library.
Oh, okay.
I've been to many cons. Yeah, so...
Are you, like, connected with the library, or were you just...
That's how I started out. I was volunteering for Manga Next. I did the library, and then I realized, wow, yeah, sound experience. We have no sound people. Do sound. So I ended up, being put to a camera doing Despair's Ray being spit on all night. That was a lot of fun.
Despair Ray spit on you?
Yes. They have a thing where they just chug bottles of water and they spit on everyone.
Yeah, that's a good shtick.
And it was not fun considering I'm hooked up to about 500 volts of electricity, electronics.
Oh,
and
no.
the land is all wet. And,
you get that?
No, thankfully
good.
Not. Thankfully
good.
Not.
Oh my.
Yeah, and the fangirls loved it. They asked for more.
You like sell your shirt at the end of the night?
Yeah, people ask me, like, oh, you're so lucky. I'm like, no, I'm not.
Yeah, saliva from the band. $50. It's all right. Sell it on eBay. You get 100.
Yep, definitely.
All right. I guess I asked the other guys, so I should ask everyone now. What's your favorite show that you've been watching lately?
So the favorite show that I've been watching lately, I've been watching The Gray Man, and I'm very surprised by it. Mm. Being a fan of it, it's a great show. Death Note, I like it. It talks too damn much.
It's very talky.
It is. I'm enjoying it. I like that fact, but every once in a while, I'm like, shoot someone.
Yeah. You're like, please, do something.
Yeah, pretty much.
Write a name in a notebook.
Exactly. You know, other than that, I mean, I saw the American show, and I'm watching Bleach. I'm totally into Bleach right now. Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's what I'm watching. I'm powering through Beat the Vandal Buster, waiting for Voltron to come out again.
I think that girl is the Wicked Witch from Snow White, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, from Kingdom Hearts.
From Kingdom Hearts from Snow White. Well, you think it's like, all right. Okay, that's it.
This Saturday at Wembley Stadium, Classic FM presents Beethoven. The Madman of Vienna brings his demonic musical power to London for one night only. Screaming strings, roaring horns, and 10 pieces of heavy, heavy percussion. Beethoven! If it's too loud, you're not deaf. Beethoven rocks Wembley. It's gonna be classic. Ull.
I was at Obompan, and this girl in cosplay cuts in front of me, and she's like, I'm sorry, did I cut you? And I was like, yeah, it's all right, whatever. So she goes up to the counter, she turns around, and she's like, I'm sorry, I just get so dazed at these conventions. And there's this other dude, and he turns around and he goes, what kind of convention is it? Is it a Halloween convention? And I'm just like, oh my God. Because whenever somebody asks that question, you know that they're asking the least responsible candidate to be answering that question. And she's like, no, this is an anime convention, and we're celebrating our love of anime, or something like that. And I'm like, holy shit. And I'm like, stuffing my badge back into my jacket, like, I have no part of this, I'm just here for my sandwich.
The Halloween convention? You want to describe the miasma at the dance?
Oh my first otaku dance. I can still taste it. I did it on a dare.
It's like it tastes so bad you can smell. It smells so bad you can taste.
It's like getting punched in the face.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah.
Perhaps you've never been to the Oda Rave at Otakon.
Right. Well, I imagine it's something like that.
Too bad, because people wait overnight on Thursday.
Well, you know, I was like, let's run the gauntlet. Let's go through it. And that's really what it was. It was a gauntlet. And I actually didn't do it. Shelly did it. She ran through, tagged the stage, and then ran back.
That was the gauntlet?
So that was the gauntlet. I don't know. It's kind of visual.
But there was like a part that was like a war.
A war.
Well, you were like,
you know,
Shelly, go on without me.
No. Rosemary was like, I can't go on. I was like, be strong. You can do it. But actually, we ended up not doing it because we ended up like veering off. And she almost ran into two people making out. It was pretty funny. But they were like, you know. But you know what was weird? Steph, remember there was like the rave part? And then there was like another part. There was like a faction. There was like a, like, we're not hanging out at that dance. We're having our own dance. But they were just kind of like grinding. Like there's just like this mass of people grinding, sort of. Like not really moving.
Now I am actually recording.
Okay. Please don't put that on there.
No, I won't. I was thinking about your hour-long.
Aaron, what do you want to know?
How did your con go, man?
Okay, Friday was lame
to
a degree that was shocking, as usually this was a great Friday con. However, Saturday was pretty awesome, largely because I was dressed as a fictional character for most of the day. And
Which character was that, Allison?
Yeah. I was dressed as Prince Zuko from Avatar. And about 45 minutes walking around with the homemade wanted poster demanding, if anybody had seen this boy! And then calling them f***ing peasants when they had not.
Even the third, you called 12-year-olds and peasants.
No, 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 only above the age of 18. 12-year-olds I was very kind to. I merely looked very frustrated and put out.
I did witness a really great moment where a parent was yelling at her kid who was dressed in a cape. I don't know what character he was supposed to be, like a black cloak thing. And she's like, Jerry, or whatever his name is, you are 12 years old. You can't go wandering off by yourself. And he was like, but they said I was supposed to meet him in Artist Alley, something, something. And that's all I heard of it. Aww. He really did look 12 years old. It was.
He probably was 12. I think the most shocking thing is when I spent about 20 minutes talking to this one girl. And at the very end of the conversation,
yes.
She was very cool. But at the very end of the conversation, she was like, blah, blah, blah. And everybody thinks I'm some age other than what she is, and I assume that she meant everybody thought she was younger than what she is, and I'm like, oh, well, you look like you're somewhere between 22 and 27 to me. She's like, I'm 15. I'm like, oh, no! Like, chick. And, like, running to the previous conversation I'd had with her, thinking, have I said anything horribly offensive?
Yeah. Yaoi fanfic slash.
Yeah, how many times have I suggested that she have sex with other people? Perhaps for money, perhaps not. I don't know. I don't remember any of the conversation I had with her up until that point, until she was 15! That's not even legal in England!
I'm sorry, Erin. I know you're like 14.
Yeah, talk to Erin. Erin has a
contrary court.
You should bitch about how there wasn't any food.
I have a horrible story. We shouldn't put that on.
Alright, now that.
Which is your story? The one with the
girls in the elevator and the skeevy guy.
Oh. Tell that story.
Great. Reading, you promised you'd never say anything about that.
16? 18? So we're on the elevator on the way downstairs, and as the elevator is prone to do, stopping at every single floor.
And the elevator is completely packed, and the last two people to get on are these two girls who are clearly dressing up as some sort of J-pop boys or some sort of flamboyantly gay Japanese boys, if you will. They're wearing these schoolboy shirts cut up above the midriff shorts that I swear to God are less than a foot long in checks.
Were they twins?
No, they were not twins,
good.
But they were both wearing extremely bad spiky wigs.
Are you sure they weren't twins?
I am pretty positive. They're 15-year-old, extremely talkative girls in knee socks. And the door opens on the floor, and there's just simply no way anyone else is getting in. So they say to the two kind of, I don't know, maybe like 18-year-old, kind of tallish, kind of guys standing there, hi, bye, and one of the guys there responds only with, sweet, as he stares at them.
And then he stops the doors from closing.
And then he stops the doors with a push of the button and stares some more. And some time passes until the doors, thank you, and until the doors finally close.
No, it's not.
It was pretty creepy, if you will.
Let's be clear, though. These, the flowchart that describes, like, the organizational structure of the Demons of Kamon is not based on powers.
Yeah. It's definitely not, because otherwise it would
number
be...
Number two would
otherwise
be,
otherwise, it would be Last Boss and Stone Guy.
Yeah.
And everybody else would be, like, the janitors of the demon world. They're like, hey, snake chick, clean up this pile of puke.
It's like
outside class two.
Snakes will get you. It's like, what? I'm made out of stone. And then she looks again at me and is like, sorry, I can regenerate any part of my body.
I can just push the poison out of my body. She's like, man, this sucks. Sorry, man. You know, we're all born with what we're given. They're like the mentally retarded people of the demons. The two demons are having their baby and the doctor's like, it's a girl. And they're like, oh my God, I hope she's normal. And it's like, her power is control over snakes.
Just go in a river.
Like the next room down, the kid's like flying around and shooting fire out of his eyeballs. And the parents are touching one hand to the glass, and they're like thinking about switching the baby, changing the name tags in the demon hospital.
Dave and Joel's Fast Karate for the Gentleman,
the podcast for people who don't like anime
or podcasts.
Find us online at daveandjoel.com.
Oh, It's kind of a really nice day out today. Really excellent weather. There's a parade, a Greek parade.
Yeah,
happening
kind
on
of
this
Alexander the Great parade.
A Macedonia
awesome.
Logo
Macedonia
happening on the street.
Macedonia Uralis.
This is one thing to wake up in completely bright sunshine after the two martini night last night. And
two martini night, not very impressive.
They were pretty strong. Yeah. I was out of it. Don't drink, kids. No.
Seriously. Don't waste your life.
Wait until you're 21, you'll find
don't
out.
Don't go down that road.
Yeah. So,
also, stop watching anime. What are you doing?
You're wasting your life. You're wasting
your
time.
Life.
You could be doing something productive. You could be reading great works of literature. But what are you doing? You're watching Sailor Moon reruns.
Yeah.
What were you thinking? So after the Greek parade, I come inside the convention center, and there's a giant conga line being led by Jesus.
Yeah.
Going up the escalator. Jesus is a popular cosplay at cons, but there can only be one per con.
Grand Shinchan without his handler.
No, that's another handler. The blonde woman is. Shinchan has a handler. It's a different one. It's a new woman.
It's a different handler.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's Cartoon Network's been sending this Grand Shinchan costume around to New York Comic Con and now Anime Boston. He goes around and kind of moons people with his fake butt. He's got a giant head and a mask. It's so weird that Grand Shinchan is being marketed for adults here. I mean, it makes sense, like, because kids can't watch that stuff in America. He wags
right.
his penis at people on a regular basis. Like, we don't do that here. Violence is okay, but not nudity.
No, not nudity, especially
don't expose children to
nudity.
Naked children.
Yeah.
Exploding cartoons, okay. Naked cartoons,
want
bad.
Want to say something for the record, do you think?
No, he doesn't really speak.
You
want to
shove that into his face?
Moons you and stuff.
Hey.
Yes,
use posters.
I've been doing a garage sale theme. Oh, there's someone dressed as a Moon Knight with bombs strapped to him. That's pretty good.
Throw up your rock fist if you're feeling it when I drop this. Show them that we